Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
So good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? That was my first message. I got four. I got my iPad on upside down. I'm all out of sorts this morning. I'm fired up this morning, y'all. I'm telling you what. All right, let's get where I need to be here. Is church important? When I thought about, when I was looking over what it is, I saw some funny, because, you know, I like to be funny. I think I'm funny. My wife tells me I'm not most of the time, but I think I'm pretty funny. But there were some excuses for missing church, and here's a couple of them. My wife cooked bacon. Now all my family smells like bacon and we can't come to church. That one resonated with me because I can't even cook in my own house because she has the blood smelling of a bloodhound. So I have to go out, take my air fryer out on the other's premises and cook things. And then she'll even say, I still smell it. So bacon is something that doesn't get cooked in our house. That's no reason not to go to church though. Here's another one. God said to rest on a Sabbath. It's my only day to sleep in. Does that one hurt anybody? I was so raised in church that that wasn't even an option, you know, for me. It's like Sunday was the day you get up and you go to church. But the question that came up, and she was listening to something while we were sitting on the couch the other day, and it kind of grieved my heart when I started thinking about, you know, is church important? And do we really have to go to church to be a Christian? Since COVID-19, that is even before, but ever since COVID-19, that has really brought this question up more and more. Is church important? Me growing up in church, you've heard my story. If it's your first time here, then you're going to hear it again. I went to church 8 days a week. Come on, y'all, anybody raised like that? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night youth, and sometimes Saturday night prayer meeting, and come on, somebody. I was in church every time the church doors opened. Now, if we go to church once a week or we go to crew once a week, it's a treasury on us or sometimes. We just can't figure that out. But I went every day. Let's look at some stats that might surprise you. 3,500 to 4,000 churches close a year with only 1,000 new startups. Christian church attendance from 1937 to 1970 was over 76%. 1970 to 1999, close to 68, so we were still doing pretty good. From 99 up to presently, is 51%. One in four professing Christians are regular church attenders. And 57% have no church home. They're just drifting, they're looking, they're searching. And a lot of people are just flat out leaving the church. Why are they living? Why are they leaving? I believe we live in a very confused world. We live in a world that starts, I know it's going to start getting heavy here in a minute. And it starts very young with our doubting. It starts very young with our confusion. It starts very young with the things right now. We don't know whether we're coming or going anymore in this generation. And the changing worldview of Christianity, it's really changed. But let me tell you, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saint." If there's confusion, it's not from God. If there's confusion, it's caused by the enemy causing confusion. And we live in a very, very confused world. We live in a very busy world. You ask anybody, how you been this way? I've been so busy. Come on, you ever talk? You try to ask 10 people that, and they'll tell you the same. I've been so busy. This week, I was so busy. Next week, I'm going to be so busy. But there's sometimes when I'm really not that busy. There are so many activities today that conflict with church schedules. Me growing up was the wrong side of it because that was the Sabbath day. You didn't do nothing on a Sabbath. I can remember not even hardly get to go play ball or do anything. We went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. If I was too dirty on Sunday night, I better have a shower. I better be really cleaned up by the time Sunday night rolled around. But now we have so many things that conflict with it. Our current culture makes it easy to get involved with other activities. I remember when you couldn't even have a baseball game, nothing against travel, but you didn't even do anything till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. Now they start tournaments. I'm going somewhere with this son. The enemy is trying to keep us so busy and so confused and so going in 15 different directions that we don't know where we're going at. It becomes easy for people to do other things instead of attending church. They can say, oh, I can listen to a podcast, I can YouTube it, I can record the sermons online. Those are good add-ons, but there's nothing like being in the house. Christians, we have to make church a priority. We have to put it above other things because you know why? It's going to be heavy. It could be gone. Right, Pastor Johnny? It could be gone. There are people in other countries that they cannot do what we're doing right here. They have to walk and they have to hide and they have to travel for miles. They have to hide in caves and they can't be too loud. Come on, we ought to be getting our worship up in here because we're able to do it. We're busy. Busy generation. It's totally sidelined us. We're tired. We're worn out. Sometimes that's self-inflicted. Can I get an amen on that one? Sometimes we're tired, worn out, stressed out. But I guarantee you one thing. If we will give God the best of our time, I'm not talking about what's left over. God ain't like me. He don't like leftovers. He wants the very first thing of what you have. If we would start giving God the very best of the time we have, he would multiply our time. Another reason they're leaving is there's a decline and instability in the church. I'll be honest, we're not good examples sometimes. We're nasty. We're hateful. We're judgmental. We're fake. Is in sales, is your product appealing to the public? Why would they even want what you have to offer? And listen, I'm not poking at you, poking at the one person. I'm talking about the capital C church as a whole. You know how I am about social media, but you read on social media from people that I know, they sound very hateful and very judgmental and they're cutting people out of their lives. I'm saying, well, this is the time we're supposed to love. We need to come together in unity and not disunity. Is our product appealing to the public? Our doctrine and our teaching has changed. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. There are eroding biblical values. The truth is not the truth anymore. We have to be able to speak the truth in love. In love. We have to be able to preach the truth because we live in a very offendable world, in a very offendable culture. And God's way is not always easy. It's not always popular. Listen, they ended up killing Jesus, if y'all didn't know that. The gospel, he said, is very offensive. And the truth is not hate, the truth is love, or it should be. And if we have to work on how we present the truth, we need to work on how we present the truth. There's times when you can talk to someone in love and get them to kind of see where it is, but you have to do it with the right heart. The truth, the Bible says, the truth will set you free. It will make you free. Another reason is there's lack of unity. Do we even like each other? Again, I'm going back to social media and enough said. Never been a time in history when we must become stronger, we must be more unified and more alive in this Christian faith than right now in the present that we're living in right now. It's going to take us being stronger. It's going to take us being unified. It's going to take us being all together. We're better together. And that's not just in this church. We went to a pastor's thing this week, and I really walked out of thinking, man, I need to be more unified with the churches that are doing what God's called them to do. I need to quit talking bad about them, and I need to start being with them in unity. The Tower of Babel, that's not in my notes, but you remember when they all came together and they started speaking the same language, God said, oh man, there ain't nothing this bunch can't do. That's what he says about the capital C church right now when we come together. Question, is the church a who or is it a what? Is the church a building? Is it a denomination? Is it an organization? Is it a membership? I've heard people say you really don't have to go to church to be a Christian. My church is in a deer stand. Oh, I'm just having church at the beach. Again, don't be throwing shoes at me. There's nothing wrong with going to the beach. We love going to the beach. But when you place anything above assembling with God's people, it's wrong. I'm talking about, again, hear my heart. People have to miss. People got to go on vacation. I need two or three or four of them a year. But when you start saying, a popular phrase says, you don't go to church, you are the church. I get that in some ways, but it can be unhealthy pitting being the church and going to church against each other. The church by its very nature means multiple believers. If you don't believe me, here's Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. Why is church important? Why should we go? Number one, God said so. Did y'all get raised up in a home? Why? You better not even say why to my mom. She would say, because she said so. Because they said so. God doesn't want to be a commander, but he wants to say, hey, if I said it, it must be important. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We're seeing so many things unfold right now in the natural. We're seeing so many things unfold in the supernatural that we need to be understanding that God is really speaking to the church right now. At least 50 times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about togetherness. It says put together, joined together, members together, heirs together, held up together, and caught up together. The Bible even goes as far as to call the church the bride of Christ. You know, in a wedding, you know, you got to get dressed up. I actually have to wear a suit. Girls have, they got makeup on and flowers. It's a special occasion. If the church is considered the bride and it's important to him, why is it not important to us? Ooh, crickets. Why do we need to go to church? Number two, Christian community. Church family. I know of a lot of people who have now made this their family. There are some people in here right now that they don't even have a relationship with their own family, not a good one. And they've gotten such a good bond in cruise and coming to CR and doing those things that now they have a family. They have someone that they can bond with and they can go to war with. Coming together is a powerful witness. When we have all races and backgrounds and social statuses coming into the same place, it keeps us, what it does, it keeps us from being self-centered. We live in a very selfish culture. We're selfish by nature, come on. We want what we want and we want what we want. But it keeps you from being self-centered. It's a classroom, you know what this is? This is a classroom for getting along. Chris Rock would say, why can't we all just get along? You come in contact with imperfect people. Or you're sitting next to an imperfect person. You're sitting next to someone who's ordinary, but you're also sitting next to someone who's extraordinary. You got to start pulling the gifts out of each other. The disciples were not perfect. It can be messy when we step into each other's lives. It can be messy. We're all human. Anybody not human in here? How many of y'all are perfect in here? Let me see. Oh, your wife. Somebody got a hand back there, but about to get an elbow if it's your wife. We're all human. No one is perfect, and it requires some effort. Intentionality and grace from God to do life together with people and be around people. You've always heard it said, you know, church would be great if it wasn't for the hypocrites is a good one, but people. But that's where we learn how to get along. Gathering regularly with other believers becomes a refining process. It can teach us to be more caring. It can teach us to be more compassionate. Oh, it can help us teach us to be patient. Anybody need to work on that one? But I got this quote. What you used to judge a person for, you gain an understanding for. You start to see the person, not the behavior. So many times we see the behavior and we cross the person out. Aren't you so glad God didn't do that to you? When he saw your behavior, he didn't say, okay, sorry, check mark, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. He teaches us to love the person. Listen, we're not to love the sin, but we are to love the sinner. And the more of a relationship that you get with people, the more that they see that you genuinely, truly love them and you care about them, you'll get an opportunity to be able to correct when you do it in that way. You'll get an opportunity to be able to speak into their life when they know you're not going to judge them, when they know you're not going to be your halo sitting on your horns. They know that you love them truly. So people will start coming open to you. Is the word, number three, it gives us identity. Is the word Christian just a word, or does it define who you are? Because in the New Testament, over 70 times it says, in Christ. You've changed. When you accepted Jesus, you changed your position. You are now in Christ, and you need to start living like you're in Christ. Like, so many times we live outside of the realm of relationship, but when the Bible says you're in Christ, that means you're in proximity with Jesus. Jesus, he illustrated that a lot about commitment. Look at Luke 14. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? John 3:16 says, the eternal life is free to anyone who asks. However, it requires a transfer of ownership. It will cost you something to be in Christ. You talk about committed. The disciples, they left their livelihood. They threw their nets away. They dropped everything, their occupations, even left their families. And ultimately, they lost their lives because they followed Jesus. Being casually committed to Jesus usually leads not being committed when times get tough, when it's not popular. Christianity is not popular in the world right now. Or our likes or our desires kick in. We cannot follow him and the world's ways at the same time. Matthew 7:13 says this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Jesus didn't pull no punches. He was telling them, this ain't going to be roses and lollipops. And there are few that find it. Being committed may mean we lose some relationships. We lose some material things. We lose some of our own dreams and some of our own desires too. They had to give it all up to follow Jesus. So I'm asking you this morning, are we church members or members of a body? Do you want to be a spectator or do you want to be a participant? Do you come into church? Is church your time to punch the clock and say, okay, I'm gone. I did my duty, or I got my social gathering in for the week. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, this is the whole body right here, is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body and edifying of itself love. We're better together. We must do our part. Why do we need to go to church? Number four, it keeps you rooted and planted. Psalms 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. Thank you, Jesus. They shall be fresh and they shall be flourishing. You have to stay planted. Everybody's trying to be like the Jeffersons, move on up. They're always trying to find a better way to move up, a little faster way to move up, or the next best thing. But can I say there's blessings in being planted and being rooted in the house of God. Be obedient where God has placed you. We see so many people that uproot and move around, have even left here or left other churches, and then they don't go anywhere. Then you find out 6 months, a year later, that they're not going to church. They're not even planted anywhere. If God has called you to be planted in this house or the house that you're planted in, you need to be rooted deep in it. You need to be standing behind your pastors. You need to be standing behind everyone. You need to be doing your part, because this is not just our vision, it's your vision. Why do we need to go to church? Number 5, to grow more together. We grow more together than alone. There is something that longs for community. There is something in us, I know you would say, I'm an introvert. There's something still that you want to be connected. You want to be a part of what's going on. And we long for that as humans. Well, why is it important? Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend, so a church member sharpens a friend. We all need this kind of sharpening. We all, as the body, we need each other. Sometimes in the midst of trials, sometimes in the midst of bad times, people are feeling alone and forsaken and depressed and defeated and overwhelmed, and they need someone to come alongside. That's where a church family comes into part. That's where crews come into part. That's where CR comes into part. You need to have a family around you ready to hug you and hold you up when you're about to fall down. We can't do this alone, y'all. He didn't build us to be alone. God has given us the gift of gathering in the church, and it fulfills something inside of us to be a part of something, to do life with other people, to encourage each other and authentically love each other. Help and pray. There's times when you need someone to help and pray with you, and there's times when they need you to do that for them. We're in this thing together. We are better together. I'm being honest. Maybe people have let you down. People aren't perfect. I'm talking to you online too. Maybe churches let you down. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastors. We're all a bunch of imperfect people trying to serve after the one who's perfect. Maybe they've let you down. Maybe you felt judged. We've all had bad haircuts, but we still get haircuts. You might end up like this one day. Just kidding. Hope not. You might have said, peace out to church. I can stay home and I can listen to whatever I want to listen to online. But I'm telling you something. There's nothing like. Books are good. Podcasts are good. Conferences are good. There's something about being planted and rooted in the local church that makes a difference in your life. It's so much more than just getting here on a Sunday morning. This lady, she makes my day on Sunday morning with her smile. Every time she walks in, she's smiling from ear to ear, and it makes my day to see that smile and other people who walk in here. Because then I can see sometimes when you don't have a smile on your face, and I know something's going on, and we can tell, that's when we need to come together and say, okay, well, how you doing this morning? How you doing this morning? Jason said something this morning. I said, you got a tag on, buddy. You looking good in that tag. He said, I'm about to make contact with as many people in this room as I can. If we don't do anything else right at Our City Church, we want you to know that you belong here. that you're part of our family. You're part of what God is doing. In the good times, in the bad times, in the in-between times, we're knitted together as a church body. This morning, meetings are not just what church people do. They're who we are. When we go out of town, I mean, we don't go to church every time we go out of town. But there's something about missing it. I feel, man, it's Sunday. I'm there laying on the beach, but it's okay. God, he quickly says, it's okay, my son, you're forgiven. There's something about being in the house. If y'all would stand with me, please. I'm asking you this morning. Have you ever joined the church? I'm not talking about our church, our city church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about giving your life to Jesus. Because when you give your life to Jesus, you join his church. His is easy to get membership with. Now, walking it out's another story. But you can become a member of his church by just admitting, say, God, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I confess that I have sinned in my life. Would you please forgive me? Would you come into my heart? Would you change my sinful nature? I accept you, Jesus, and I believe that you are the Son of God. If you pray that prayer and you mean that prayer, you're part of the church. You've become a member of his body. And we want to connect with you. There's ways you can connect with the Next Steps bar out here. We'd love to connect with you. There's going to be someone on the left and the right up here to pray with you during this song. If you need someone to agree with you, don't hesitate to come up here. Don't hesitate to stop by the Next Steps bar too. Maybe you've walked away and you want to come back. That's easy too. The hardest part is you forgiving yourself. That's the roughest one. The hardest part is you laying aside that thing and said, that's keeping you, oh, like that ball of chain. I want to go up to the altar. I want to do those things, but it's just, oh. Sometimes you just got to drag it to God. Sometimes you've got to drag your imperfections, your failures, the things that you do. Sometimes you just got to drag them to God and say, God, okay. And there is something about freedom when you come in Jesus' name. This morning, maybe you've walked away. Maybe you're listening later online. You've walked away from church. I'm telling you what, God is still there. God is still here. And he's waiting for you. The altar is open. The prayer team will be up here on the left and the right. We want to agree with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.